About half of U.S. adults have gotten at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, but the vaccination rate is slowing. It's down 20% in the past 2 weeks. And health experts now think we may never reach herd immunity, in which at least 80% of the U.S. is inoculated. The only sure way to reduce the virulence of the virus and decrease outbreaks, hospitalizations, and deaths to near zero. There are still millions of people who say they will not get vaccinated. And Derek Thompson wanted to know why. So he tweeted out and asked to talk to people. They responded. Derek, of course, staff writer for The Atlantic. He joins us every Monday. Derek, these are not anti-vaxxers. These are anti-COVID vaccines. Sum up their reasoning for us. What'd you hear?
I think it's a great introduction. You know, I really did just want to understand this position and write something that was more of an ethnography of a position I didn't understand rather than a takedown. And this is, I think, the best way to summarize their position, the people who describe themselves not, as you said, as anti-vaccines in general, but as against the COVID vaccine. They trust their own cells more than they trust Big Pharma, and they trust their own ability to research and root out the truth about this pandemic and the vaccines than they trust the public health community or democratic elites. So this is a group that I think has taken it upon themselves to learn about the pandemic and learn about what these vaccines do. And as a result, I think have reached conclusions that even though they include a lot of facts, are often very oriented around the idea that if they're about 35 or 25, then they're safe. They don't think as much about the broader community. And so much of our conversation was about getting them to expand their circle of care from the individual to the group.
And I want to get to that, but, you know, this is so incomprehensible to some people, but it sounds like you came to this better understanding. And if I got this right, you say you canceled a wedding, a vacation, you stayed inside, you were rooting for the vaccines. These people mostly traveled, ate in restaurants, flouted rules of people, as you said, they think are liberals and they don't trust. And so they weren't rooting for the vaccines.
That's exactly right. You know, I want to be really fair to this argument, even though I disagree with it. Both groups, both my group, the pro-vaccine group, and the no-vaccine group, I think have a little bit of motivated reasoning going on. I sacrificed so much in the last 15 months, including, as you said, canceling my wedding. I, of course, was rooting for these vaccines to work. How could I not root for the vaccines to work? And therefore, was overjoyed when I thought objectively that these vaccines work. And I think in the real world, we are learning that they are working fantastically in the U.S., in Israel, in the United Kingdom. But for the other position, for the Novavax position, there is also motivated reasoning there. They have thought the coronavirus has been a wildly overrated threat from the beginning. They are telling themselves that, look, this might be a risk, but it's a risk no more than driving a car, something I do every day and would never change my life around. And so they see the cost-benefit analysis of these vaccines very differently from me. They don't see any costs to the pandemic because they have tried to live their normal life in the pandemic. The FDA has authorize these vaccines for an emergency. Well, they don't consider this a personal emergency. And so for both the yes vaxxers and the no vaxxers, I do think it is fair to say that our feelings about the vaccines are intertwined with how we think about the pandemic.
Right.
If the pandemic's a big deal, you want to get the vaccine. If you think the pandemic is no big deal whatsoever and it was overrated by, you know, liberal elites, then you are much more likely to see the downsides, the risks in the vaccines.
Okay, I want to get to some of your thinking about how these people might be reached. And there were some that were easier for you. In some cases, people who had a COVID-19 were misinformed. They thought, hey, I'm fully protected. You explain, well, actually, no, shots are far more protective. But some people aren't going to be dissuaded from their thinking. And so you said, do things like make it easier to get a vaccine, create a DoorDash for the vaccine. The shot will come right to their home. Or make it harder to not get a shot. Use proof of vaccination to get into stadiums or other large gatherings. But you caution that might backfire and become completely partisan.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about DoorDash for vaccines. This is an idea that actually came to me from a source who asked to remain anonymous, but has so far resisted getting a shot himself. His perspective is he doesn't really care about this pandemic, and so he doesn't really care about the vaccines. He said, if you want me to get a shot, you need to make it as easy as possible. And something like DoorDash for vaccines, where you make a reservation online, some state public health administrators come to your apartment, come to your house, give you the shot right there. You don't have to take a single second out of your day practically, and the shot will essentially come to you as if it's, you know, Chinese food being DoorDashed to your doorstep. This is a
way, Derek,
I
just have to
lower the barrier.
I just have to jump in to say there was that. There's also the notion of requiring vaccinations, but you say, okay, so red states will have people in stadiums and blue states won't. It'll become partisan. But just the last thought in the 30 seconds we have, have somehow get them to see that they may be safe, but their grandparent isn't.
That's right. You know, the shots are best at protecting us from transmitting the virus to people who might be vulnerable. So what I kept telling people that I spoke to is your cells might be good enough to protect you, but the shots are better to protect grandpa.
Yeah. Derek Thompson, we'll link you to his writing at The Atlantic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thoughtful as usual.